This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
I am called one.
I come to offer you youth and fresh blood.
Hey, we all know how we're going to die, baby. We're going to crash and burn.
Werewolves on Wheels, starring Steve Oliver and Severn Darden.
I write your unholy name thrice in blood.
This gang thought they were tough. The supernatural challenged them. Their fight for survival was savage. As one by one they became terrified, bloodthirsty werewolves on wheels. Rated R from the Fanfare Corporation.
Are you interested in the unknown?
Video games.
Old movies.
Horror.
Old TV.
Zombies.
Fantasies.
Comics.
The paranormal.
And science fiction.
Hot TV.
Games and more. Then tune in Tuesday night at 10.
On Sci-Fi and Squid.
On Joy 94.9.
I'm William Castle. And I feel obligated to warn you about the next attraction you will see at this theater. The picture is The Tingler, which I directed. And for the first time in motion picture history, members of the audience, including you, will actually play a part in the picture. You will feel some of the physical reactions, the shocking sensations experienced by the actors on the screen. I guarantee that The Tingler has more shocks per minute than my last film, The House on Haunted Hill. But don't be alarmed. You can protect yourself. When you see the picture, you will be told and remember the instruction how you can guard yourself from attack by the Tingler. And now may I show you a few scenes from the Tingler?
Trailer Trash, the art of the film trailer. Welcome to the show, Zach.
Thanks, Sonia, for having me again. It's great to be back and having a chat about all things movies and genre.
And trashy.
You know, that's how we like to keep it.
Yeah, myth. Oh, it's madness, yeah. Isn't it?
It's going on. It's happening. We're coming up to the second weekend. When yeah. Everything goes crazy. So,
how are you feeling?
I'm good, yeah.
dangerous.
Excellent.
They need some sort of film festival insurance.
You exactly, know, people, some sort of you know, legal binding document to make
some
sure
sort of cover
by the end of it. Yeah,
so, yeah, because there's always the myth flu that comes afterwards. I've had that before, and it's just like not nice.
The myth flu sometimes usually kicks off second week. I think it's the cold heating sort of, you know, communal environment syndrome.
Yeah, late nights. Yeah.
Yep, late nights, early mornings. Yep, it's great. The festival flu is a worldwide commodity.
I think you're right. This is Sonia, Sci-Fi and Squeam, here on Joy 94.9, speaking to Zach Hepburn. He's been a bit of a regular guest here and there over the years on Sci-Fi and Squeam. And, of course, he's got something coming up special for the Melbourne International Film Festival. It's a panel. It's called Trailer Trash, the Art of the Film Trailer. Welcome to the show, Zach.
Thanks, Sonia, for having me again. It's great to be back and having a chat about all things movies and genre.
And trashy.
You know, that's how we like to keep it. So, it's great to be able to do this Talking Pictures panel for Myth. It's sort of an extension of what I've been doing with some of my cinema programs for a little while. Obviously, with Cultastrophe at Cinema Nova, we always run a pre-show of film trailers that is a collection of, you know, junk that I've assembled over the years, or kind of wild and crazy stuff from the past. So this is a nice way of sort of legitimizing it in many ways, because we have a panel to discuss the wild and varied world of exhibition trailers.
Yeah, I've been to the Cultastrophe, some of your events, and yes, it's the trailers that certainly warm up and get the atmosphere going. Now, where on earth do you find these?
An archaeological dig in many ways, but it's also just being a fan of film. You know, for me, when I even when I was a kid, I always wanted to catch the trailers at the cinema. Film viewing experience wasn't, you know, really complete without seeing the trailers at the beginning. So it's a collection of sort of, you know, the internet plays a large part of it, but also there's some fantastic trailer compilation DVDs that come out of the US. And also, too, local directors Mark Hartley and Jamie Blanks put together these really fantastic compilation packs called Driving Delirium, which had, was a series of three DVD set, and they were kind of broken down into stuff like, you know, Ninja Fu and, you know, Giallo or Go-Go, and it's just an assortment of different trailers, and it just really kind of gives you this real overlook of the different ways that films have been marketed throughout the years. And it's a really interesting sort of evolution about how viewers access, you know, marketing content for cinema, you know, obviously going from, you know, days of the 50s where the films are really trading on star names and directors' names, and like, you know, short films in their own right with lots of crazy graphics and wordings and stuff, through to the 80s and 90s where, you know, the idea of the trailer voiceover guy kind of came in, you know, in a world where this happens and stuff like that. So that's the thing. And now, you know, we're in the days of viral marketing and, you know, trailers for trailers. So it's kind of come, you know, really full circle in many ways of just these inventive sort of companies and filmmakers creating stuff to catch people's attention. And what we really want to do with this panel is address that and look at this sort of archaeological pattern where trailers have been, what they do and where they're going.
Yeah, I mean, that's a curious thing. I mean, I was talking to Mark Hartley, the director of Electro Boogaloo, so well at MIFF. Well, it just premiered. With what he was saying, they have in themselves become a life force, excuse the pun, of it's his favourite film, by the way, the canon variety. They have really become, you know, an entity of their own, actually, the trailer. And it's interesting to see the ones in the 50s, you know, very heightened, sort of super real, very political propaganda-ish type almost newsreel-ish, you know.
Yeah, exactly. They're almost, you know, kind of newsreels in the fact. And too, you know, obviously, given the fact that, you know, trailers used to play after the film, people would hang around between the two sort of double features and see what was coming up next week to kind of keep people's attention while they were walking in and out of the auditorium. I mean, I think a large part of the fascination with trailers most recently is probably due to the work of stuff like, you know, the Grindhouse film with Quentin Tarantino and Robert Rodriguez, creating those fake trailers that emulate that sort of 70s Grindhouse vibe. So I think that's really where the attention was sort of brought back in for a lot of film fans, because, you know, a lot of these things were just kind of languishing in forgotten parts of history because trailers would screen and they would never be shown again. That's something that we really wanted to do, is present them to the audience in a contextualized way. And we've got some great panelists for the event, including Mark Hartley, and I've also got the director of Housebound, Gerard Johnson, who's going to be around, Anthony Iguanane, who's the producer of Turkey Shoot, the original Turkey Shoot and the new Turkey Shoot. We've also got Alexander Hellenicholas talking, who's an academic. He's going to be talking about some great trailers, and we've got a trailer editor in as well, just as some nice context about people that actually make these trailers. You know, it's an art form in itself.
Is it still that way? Or do you still have directors who just make trailers and nothing else?
Look, it's something we'll probably have a good discussion with, because we'll have two directors and an editor on the night. I think at this point in time, it's a little bit of a give and take. You know, you'll have some directors who are actively engaged with their marketing material and who really want to put their own stamp on it, versus some other films that, you know, are such large productions that it just kind of goes through the process of, you know, an editor getting a rough cut of the film, getting an early script, and then kind of making something and then gets approved. So, again, I think it's a bit of give and take depending on the project. I still think, you know, early on in the days of, you know, particularly in the 50s and 60s and then, you know, through the 70s and 80s, it was a real signatory stamp of some directors, and obviously Alfred Hitchcock trailers, or the, you know, the trailers like The Tingler, where you have William Castle, you know, directly addressing the audience. So I think there is a real kind of signature, which we might have lost somewhat in the current trend. But that being said, there is some, you know, some great trailers being made for many independent films, which are really kind of continuing that trend of directly engaging with their audience.
I just want to ask a question. Do you think what Marvel Studios are doing, how they insert sometimes up to two teasers, almost, they're not a trailer, but they tease about upcoming superheroes and the content of the next film installment. Is that a trailer?
Like a little bit of a stinger. I think that,
because they're in themselves stand on their own too. You don't see them in the film that comes up.
Yeah, it kind of plays into that viral marketing tactic that I think a lot of people are using now. And, you know, I think that was kind of brought about, you know, with even stuff like, you know, the San Diego Comic-Con, you have people that are finding, you know, links on Twitter or Facebook to uncover elements of the trailer.
Yeah,
or other.
Yeah.
So I think that there is that element to it. And that's where that sort of interactivity with the audience is coming back into play. So it is an interesting evolution, but you know, for my money, I still really like the old voiceover guy, to be honest. So,
yeah.
But it's nice that we can have both.
Yeah. So if it came down to the crunch, what would your favourite... do you have a favourite trailer? I mean, that's a hard one.
One of my favourite trailers, which we may be including in the evening, is a trailer for a film title called Werewolves on Wheels, which pretty much just repeats that mantra over and over again while we see a slow group of bikers slowly morphing into werewolves. So it's a fun trailer. It has the fun of the voiceover and also the fun of the on-screen text, and, you know, bells go off and the werewolf transformation and stuff like that. So it's plainly the kind of ballyhoo that, you know, exhibition and exploitation filmmakers were really kind of into, you know, trying to get some...
Is that an actual film?
Werewolves on Wheels. It's an actual film. It's an American embassy film from the 70s.
Right.
And there's another great one for stuff like, you know, I Dismember Mama, where they had set up like a fake film crew and they were interviewing fake people coming out of the cinema who had been turned mad by the horror film. And, you know, you could get a thing called the Upchuck Cup at the cinema where, you know, people were given an upchuck. So that kind of real, you know, canny, almost sort of carnival marketing in a way is something that I think we might have lost. So it's these kind of trailers are a great kind of time capsule for that, because, you know, now everything's online, no one's getting any kind of physical thing given out to them in the cinema.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Yeah.
Although Kickstarter campaigns sort of have a little something similar to that.
Yeah, the incentives of actually backing stuff and getting a gift. Yeah, I think it's an interesting kind of evolution, and that's something that we certainly want to address during the trailer trash panel.
All right, so tell us when it's on, where, and how people can find out more.
Everything you always need to know about the MIF is on www.mif.com.au, but the specifics of our event, it's a Talking Pictures event, it's Trailer Trash, the Art of the Film Trailer. It's on the 11th of August, 5:30 p.m. at the Shebeen Bar, which is just off Swanson Street, also often the home of Speakeasy Cinema. You can jump online and get a ticket for us. It's a free event, but you do require a ticket, and last I checked, it is selling fast. So if you want to come along, make sure you jump onto the MIF website to book a ticket.
And will you be producing a trailer for this?
We'll have plenty of trailers on the evening. The idea behind it is we're going to have our panellists have picked, hand-selected a few trailers to speak about, and we also have some trailers that I've curated around various program streams within the festival, so you'll probably see some haunted Hong Kong footage, science and technology trails and stuff. So it's really just a celebration of the trailer, and we really just want to kind of show the audience some stuff they may not have seen, or if they've seen it before, see it in a new light with some new information by some really well-informed panellists.
Oh, sounds amazing. So you've got a real passion for this, and Zach, where are you taking your trailer next? Where are you hooking it up to?
No, we'll always be at Cinema Nova doing some pre-shows as well, and we'll be back around probably the Shadow Electric Cinema over summer doing some outdoor craziness as well. But generally, just always around doing some left-of-centre genre programming around Melbourne. That's what I love to do, so I try and do my best at it.
Do you have a website yourself yet? Or
I don't have a website myself. I currently should be really working that, but you can find me on Twitter at Dr. Zach Hepburn.
Cool. Excellent. Thanks so much for speaking to us on Sci-Fi and Squeam about all that trash and those trailers, Zach Hepburn. Sounds awesome.
Thanks, Sonia. Talk to you soon.
Okay, cheers.
Queer Geeks of Oz. Because not all geeks are the same, and not all queer geeks are the same. Queer Geeks of Oz. Because allies are important, and because you can like Batman and Spider-Man. Queer Geeks of Oz. Because Professor Oak doesn't know how to politely ask which pronoun you prefer, and then goes on to assume you're cisgendered anyway. Queer Geeks of Oz. Because we want to explore stories and worlds as characters other than straight white dudes. Queer Geeks of Oz. Because we want to explore stories and worlds as characters that represent ourselves.
Queer Geeks of Oz.
Because we want to explore stories and worlds as characters other than ourselves.
Queer Geeks of Oz.
Because we want to see what it would look like if we put Tumblr on a stage.
Queer Geeks of Oz.
In Melbourne, Hobart, Brisbane and Sydney.
Throughout history, man has marveled at the vast complexity of the universe. Without a single unified voice, Humanity has been left searching for answers to the unknown. Now, one man has the power to change that and to spread his voice across the earth for all of mankind to hear. One man. Me.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.